Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, hello out there in television radio land.
Yes, hello, everybody, all the way out there.
And hello, Dr. Chris. Hello, Dr. Art. We are here, and you have to put up with us again this week.
Yeah, right. Yes. Well, one of the things I was noticing is this is our 26th show, so officially we have been on the air for half a year.
That
this is
true.
Our six-month celebration. So we've kept the lights on this long. I hope some of our listeners will help us do that the next 6 months. We'll get a little bit of help from them. That would be nice, too.
It would be great. You know, this show is a labor of love. And at the risk of sounding like we're selling, we're actually just asking for some help to cover our costs. And if you get value out of the show, you're welcome to become what's called a subscriber. And you can find the link to subscribe to New Reality on our show page. And it's as little as $2.99 or any amount up from there. So we thank you so much to the subscribers that we do have. And tonight's show is all about beliefs, and we had mentioned last week that we were going to be talking about Dr. Bruce Lipton's whole book, The Biology of Belief, but what we realized was that it's extremely involved, and so what we're really going to do is we'll bring in his concepts, but really talk about how beliefs affect you, just what is a belief, how do we develop them, how do some beliefs actually hurt you, and is there a difference between a belief and the truth? Because beliefs are, well, we'll talk about that. and how do you change beliefs if they are hurting you or affecting you in some way that's not what you want? So we'll be talking about that. I think it may just be time for tip of the week, but let me just say, anybody who's new that's tuning in, this is a live talk show. So we are live on camera right now. And there are some phone numbers. If you would like to join the conversation, if you would like to ask a question live on the show, or if you would like some laser coaching, you can dial in. And Thomas is putting the numbers on the screen. If you're in the United States, you can call toll-free 1-888-627-6008. If you are outside the U.S., you can dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So with that, now it's time for Dr. Art's tip of the week.
Tip of the week. Okay. In keeping with my tradition of having a one-word identifier for the tip, the word this week is flow. F-L-O-W. Not Flo, the lady who's on Progressive Insurance. This is F-L-O-W.
Okay.
And in Chinese medicine, it deals with qi, which qi is the word for energy. And the Chinese medicine system has qi running through meridians, not nerves, as the Western medicine does it. So one of the ideas is that it's kind of like gate theory. You got gates that are closed, and that blocks the energy, that equals dis-ease. Mm-hmm. You open the gate up, the energy flows, now we have health. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is about opening gates to let energy flow through, and that creates a very wonderful feeling of of health and does get the energy to the cells and to the different places that it needs to be in order to keep us healthy. So what I wanted to tell you about is a wonderful way to open a major gate. And this gate is, if you look at the, let's see if I can turn it this way, the side of your hand right here, either side, this is called the karate chop point. Mm-hmm. This little place right here on the end is called the karate chop point. And if you just tap on that point there, there are a lot of meridians that go through this area. So if mm-hmm. if you just tap gently with three or four fingers there on there, that is like knocking on the gate saying, open up, let me, you know, let the energy flow. And it will allow energy to flow through that area more rapidly and bring you to better health. And there are just so many meridians that go through there. So if you want to, not necessary, you can also couple that with something that you would say. And that's, even though I have this temporary whatever is bothering you, I still love and respect myself, or I still honor myself, or I still think I'm a pretty neat human being. What if something to give yourself a compliment and an acknowledgement that you are okay, but you do have this little temporary thing that's bothering you, and so hopefully this will help get rid of that. So energy flow using the karate chop point. A lot of people like it because it's something you can do under the table. Nobody even needs to know that you're doing it. Or even if you're just walking along or just sitting at the table thinking, you can just have your hand up and just kind of tapping like that. Nobody will ever suspect that you're energizing yourself. So enjoy it.
I love that. And of course, that's part of the emotional freedom technique.
EFT, yes.
And what you've done is, you know, you're doing it where there are a whole bunch of meridians mm-hmm. and not necessarily doing all the other tapping. So I like that as a shortcut. That's great. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is about flow. You know, having been a chiropractic physician, we talk about the flow of innate intelligence through the body, but also through the nervous system. And so when there's a blockage in the nervous system, then the life force can't flow through the nerves and through your body. So it's very important to have flow and to be able to eat. Everything in life has a flow. You know, there are wavelengths and things we can't see that are flowing through our existence. And flow is a really important thing. It's movement. Body movement, you know, right. When we stay stationary, it's not healthy for us.
Not good.
Yeah. So thank you for that tip of the week, Dr. Art. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Sure. So let's talk about flowing with beliefs that support us.
Right.
And maybe we can help people understand just what a belief is. And there's so much to say about beliefs that I'm going to let you start off, Dr. Art, but maybe you can tell people, what is a belief, and how do we have them?
How do we get them? Well, the very simple definition of a belief is something that you hold to be true. Does that mean it is true? Not necessarily. It that you say it's true and that you believe it's true, but it is just something that you hold to be a truth for you. A value, beliefs and values are really very closely intertwined. And a value is something that you hold to be important. So they're very close, as you can see. Something's true or something's important. A lot of times they get pretty blurred together. And so in going back to Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, what we find is that most of our beliefs were installed in us prior to about age 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. The reason is that we had no way to block out opinions of other people. We were not worldly wise yet. We were not educated to the ways of the world. And somebody would say, oh, there's little Art. Isn't he smart? Or isn't he clumsy? Or isn't he whatever, you know? That just goes right into our unconscious mind. That's the mind that is like a big hard disk. It stores everything it hears, everything it sees, feels, tastes, smells, every, the whole thing. It's all stored in this hard disk. And so stuff just gets installed there. And most of our beliefs, unfortunately, usually for us, they were installed there by people either inadvertently or by accident or on purpose. But because it was spoken to us or about us by an adult who is this gigantic, huge creature that we little kids have to deal with, and they know everything. Adults, just, they're the smartest people in the world. They know it. So whatever they say must be true, and we can believe it. And so we do. And after about age 8, 9, 10, something like that, we develop a portion of our conscious mind, and it's called a critical function, and it questions the stuff that we hear, and it doesn't let everything automatically go in. Before that, we have no critical function, and so everything just goes right in, and so we're just loaded up with beliefs. Now, after that, when we get a critical function, we get a belief because something makes sense to us. You know, we have an experience, we form a judgment about it, and we adopt that, and unless something proves it to be untrue, then we'll pretty well hold on to that and keep it going. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that Dr. Chris and I have marveled at is some of the things that were wonderful beliefs at the time, through time, can prove not to be so wonderful at all. Mm-hmm. Can be damaging, can be inaccurate, inappropriate. And the one I love to use with a lot of my clients who say, well, I just can't change a belief. I mean, I got this belief and I can't change it. There's no way. It's like they are their belief, you know, they're what mm-hmm. they say. I say, really, you still believe in Santa Claus? And they say, oh, well, no, I don't believe in Santa Claus. Well, okay. That's an example of how there are beliefs that at a point in our life was appropriate and fun and joyful. And then when you get to be 30 or 40 and you still believe in Santa Claus, then people will start talking about you behind your back. Like
sooner than that.
Sooner than that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So these beliefs kind of, they're all different varieties of them.
Well, and it's, to me, it's very sad that some adults don't even realize what they're doing when they're saying certain things to their kids, and they don't mean to hurt them. They don't mean to cause these negative beliefs that the kids develop about themselves. But it happens. And, you know, then of course there's houses of worship where certain things are said, and if the kid takes it in and says, wait a minute, you know, I put a frog in so-and-so's backpack, I must be a sinner, you know, and it goes from there. I mean, that's a very small example, but
develop some enormous guilt over that though. I mean, yeah. It's possible that they can do that. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
I wish that I were able to get parents to realize that everything you say, just approach it with the idea that this child of mine or somebody else's is going to remember that and live by it for the next 40 years. And if you still want to say it, then that's fine. But be very, very careful, because this stuff is just loaded. It's like an explode. It's like a bomb.
Yeah.
And it goes off over and over and over again. And these poor kids' lives, as they get older, they don't know any better. That's where the blondes are dumb That is a belief that makes the joke ha-ha funny, only unconscious minds don't have a sense of humor.
Right.
That's only the conscious mind that has a sense of humor. So these poor blondes grow up thinking, well, I guess I'm blonde, so I must not be very smart. Mm-hmm. And it's just a horrible thing that we do to them. And they never had a chance. I mean, there was no way they could defend themselves against something. Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, girls think they can't be good at math if they're blonde.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And there's the stereotype of so many things that that we do in our society that harms the self-image. And, you know, and then that becomes what you and I have referred to as the identity factor. And this is why when you try to step outside of what your subconscious has taken in as a belief about you, this is what's true. This is what you are, who you are, how you are, what you're capable of, what you're not capable of, what's allowed, what's not allowed based on who I'm telling you, meaning subconscious mind is telling you that you are. I've decided that this is what I believe. Well, then you try to reach for more in your life. You try to reach for something different in your life. And the identity that you have doesn't want to allow it.
Doesn't allow it.
And this ties into, I hope you'll watch our archived show of parts that we did last week, because this is a kind of a, another aspect to this where as you're a child and you have no defenses and things happen that you can't control, you may develop a part of your identity that is trying to protect you from further hurt or from further bad experiences. And so now you are, it's almost like you've got a soldier standing ready to make sure you don't step out of that identity. And this is where beliefs can be very, very deleterious. But the other thing I wanted to say is that there are people documented whose doctors gave them a prognosis and they believed it and they died. Like their doctor said, you have only 3 weeks to live. And even though the doctor was well-meaning, what if that wasn't really the case? What if the person could have recovered or could have lived longer? But because the doctor gave a definite end to their life, they subconsciously agreed to this edict and subsequently died. There are many people who have actually flown in the face of those prognoses and actually lived and survived. But this is the power of belief, that you can actually cause yourself to believe that such and such is going to happen. And here we go with the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've already outlived most of my doctors, so I have a hard time sometimes really taking them seriously. But they do say things, and with the white coat and the stethoscope and the, you know, and the title and everything, that they get this enormous power of their statements. And I have had clients come to me said, well, I have cancer. And I said, okay, well, I'm glad to know that. And they said, and the doctor said, I'm going to die in 6 months or a year or whatever it is. And I said, well, what do you say? And they said, well, the doctor says so. And I said, no, I'm not interested in what the doctor said. What do you say about it? And they said, well, if the doctor said 6 months, I guess that's it. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I mean, I don't know. If you don't cut me some slack here, there's not much I can do. If you say, I want to live the next 6 months as pain-free as I can, you know, we can work on that. But I really am distressed to hear you accepting what will happen. I worked in a large company back in the day when age 65, mandatory retirement. And I was in charge of a large group of pensioners. We had 25,000 people working at this site, and we had a lot of people that retired. The mean life expectancy of a 65-year-old who retired was 18 months. Because wow. Back then, you retired and you died. I mean, that's just what you did, you know? And so everybody kind of bought into that. And there's an enormous group of people who bought into that and very carefully kept the stats alive, you know, and that was really true. Now that doesn't happen at all. There are people, you know, in their 70s, 80s, 90s who are very much alive and doing important work. Because they didn't accept the fact that their birth certificate had a time limit on it.
So, exactly. Yeah. No. It's so true. The other way that beliefs affect us, as I think a lot of people relate, is as to what you can have in life. You know, there are beliefs about money. There are beliefs about love. There are beliefs about all kinds of things that block your possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have to look at if this belief is blocking me from reaching my goals or my dreams, then why do I have this belief? You have to start questioning. You have to start saying, what is it that I want? And if the belief that I have is not supporting that, just like you said, Dr. Art, is the person you asked, what do you want to believe? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, my doctor said, but is that supportive? No. It's not about lying to yourself. It's not about that the doctor, you know, doesn't have experience where they typically see people die in 6 months from this type of cancer. But what if you're the exception to that rule? And what if the majority of people are dying in 6 months because the majority of the doctors are telling them they're going to die in 6 months?
Yeah.
So this is where we have to start to say, I'm in charge of my beliefs. I'm going to choose beliefs that support me. Now, that being said, it has a lot to do with your subconscious mind, because as you and I both know, 95% of what runs you is the subconscious mind. And if you're not familiar, because we've talked about this many times, the subconscious mind is the part of you that makes your heart beat and your breathing, and that gets you from point A to point B in the car, and you don't even know how you drove there. Mm-hmm. It's the part that goes on automatic once it's comfortable with what it knows. And so when you give it an assignment, it carries it out. And that's where changing your beliefs through giving your subconscious mind new assignments. Now, Dr. Art, you just got certified in medical hypnosis, or you got board certified. Is
board
that right?
Certification, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Medical hypnosis. So I'm a lifetime teacher and learner. And so that was just another thing that I had not been board certified. I was certified, but not by the board of directors. So I wanted to get that. But Dr. Chris, one of the things you said, I'd like to go back to this thing about money, because we have beliefs about money, and there've been a lot of work done on that. And they've found out that we have something called money scripts that go along with our beliefs. Mm-hmm. One of them is a script about money avoidance. There's another one about money worship and another one about money status. So let me just give you a little flavor of this. Money avoidance. Rich people are greedy. Rich people acquire their wealth by taking advantage of other people. It's wrong to have more money than you need. I don't deserve to have a lot of money because other people have less money. So those are beliefs that we could have, and you can see how those would very much affect how much money we're going to either earn or keep, one or the other. That may have. The money worship is money makes you happy. You can never have enough. Money will solve all your problems. That's another set of beliefs that people worship money. Money status. My self-worth is equal to my net worth. I will not buy something unless it's brand new. If it's not considered the best, I won't buy it. Poor people are lazy. So you can begin to see how some of these beliefs that go along with some of the things that that we hold to be true about money, and they are just that. It's something that we've decided we're going to latch on to, and may or may not be actually true. So what they're saying when you were talking about, Dr. Chris, go ahead and examine some of yours. Some of the things they give you an example of is, what do you think about money and government? What do you think about money and budgets? What do you think about money and the stock market? What do you think about money and life insurance or any kind of insurance? What do you think about money and fathers? What do you think about money and mothers? So there are ways that we can trigger into our own belief systems and begin examining. And when you get one that, as you said before, Dr. Chris, if it's not supporting what you want in this lifetime, challenge it and then establish a brand new belief. So one of the things that they're saying is, what three messages did I get from my parents about money?
Mm.
What's the most painful memory related to money that I can have? What's the most joyful memory related to money that I can have? What did I learn from those particular experiences? And basically what they're saying is, if you have a rigid idea about much of anything, it's going to not serve you as well as if you can be flexible. Because if you said all banks are out to get you and they're not interested in you at all, if you just change even one word to say some banks, not all necessarily, there are a lot of them that are, that's absolutely true. But there are some that are not. And so if you give yourself a little wiggle room there to say, I'm gonna figure out to be a little flexible about this belief, that it'll serve you well.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to do a station identification for those who may have just joined us. This is the New Reality Show, as I'm sure you realize. I'm Dr. Christina Winsey, and my co-host is Dr. Art Emmerich. And tonight we're talking about how your beliefs shape your life. And literally, your beliefs do shape your life. You'll learn some more as we talk. We invite you, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you'd like to ask a question, if you have something to contribute, or you just want some laser coaching, maybe you're having some challenging beliefs that you're dealing with, then you can call us, dial direct, and if you have the screen on, you can see 1-888-627-6008 is dialing toll free in the United States. If you're outside the United States, you have to call direct 1-323-744-4831. And with that, we'll just continue with our topic. Dr. Art, you brought up so many good concepts and things. And I think, I want to really bring home that what you said in the very beginning, a belief is what you hold as true.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives you the power to change beliefs. And so as you were talking, the thing that I was reminded of is, we're so busy in our lives that we don't necessarily take the time to start questioning how we're doing things, what we're doing, why we're doing it. What do you really feel? What do you really believe? And so I think people are so stressed out and trying to make a living, trying to keep going in the face of all that we're dealing with right now, which is why we launched this show, so that we could help more people. And so what I want to encourage as a really big tip is to choose 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day that you can go within, close your eyes, think, feel, ask yourself questions, journal write down, you know, this is what's been going on. How do I feel about that? And as you do, or meditate, meditation is so important. And if you need help with that, we have handouts on meditation. You just contact us and we'll give our email at the end of the show. But when you take the time to examine yourself and say, yeah, my life is busy. Yeah, lots going on, but I need to know. I need to know what's running me. And if you don't like what you're seeing in your life, if you don't like how things are showing up, if you don't like how you feel, then it's even more important to be examining, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you believing? And what do you want to change? Those are the things that, you know, I happen to believe in reincarnation, but a lot of people say you only get one chance at life, and this is your life. And one thing that people tend to do is forget to plan their life. They plan vacations, they plan their work, but do you plan your life? Do you give it as much time and energy and focus as it deserves? So that's something that really resonates for me as you were talking.
I ran into some interesting information going along with that idea of we have beliefs and if they're core beliefs, core means non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. That I will not give that belief up. Even that's like the old Christians that went to the lion's den. Because they were not willing to give up their belief in God, and so that was a non-negotiable for them. They wouldn't, not for their life or not for anything else. They would not do it. So what makes it core is they say, well, that's one of my core beliefs, and they say, well, would you give your life for it? Mm. If it's really core, then you would be willing to die for that belief. And you can see what religions have done. They've probably been responsible for more deaths than any other institution in the history of the world. And that's all a belief system. Mm-hmm. And I love Bruce Lipton calls it, that's just a bunch of BS. Belief system. Belief system is BS. So it's true for us. It may not be true for many other people or maybe any other people, but for us, it is true. Yes. Now, one of the things that they say that if you want to know whether somebody really believes something, that there are seven processes that they are willing to engage in that will let you know. The first one is called, there are three groups of them. The first one's called prizing. You prize your beliefs. That means that you are proud of them. You cherish them. You feel good about them. Secondly, you publicly affirm them when appropriate. You don't have to go around and tell everybody what you believe all the time, but when it's appropriate and somebody says, well, what do you think about that? Like, what do you think about reincarnation? And you could say, well, here's what I think about it. You're willing to publicly affirm that. The second group is choosing the beliefs that you have from among alternatives, making conscious selections rather than have this unconscious loading stuff that we didn't even know about. Choosing after considering primary and secondary consequences of that belief. Choosing freely, no fear of retaliation. There are no demands that you believe something. Now you've got choice involved in your belief. And the last one, acting on the beliefs. There are two things there. Acting visibly, acting the same, even when nobody else is looking. That's a real high standard. Unfortunately, Bill Clinton, I asked him why he did some of the things he did. He said, because he could. You know, and that means nobody's looking. So I felt like I could do it. That's a different standard. The last one is acting with a pattern, consistently, repetitively acting the same way. So people kind of, I know what that person believes because they've said it often. They behave in accordance with that, and I can kind of count on them to have that belief. So there are seven processes, prizing, choosing, and acting on, that let people know and let us know even, are we sincere about our beliefs? Do we really mean it? Or do we just believe something when we're around a bunch of other people who believe the same thing, but if we got somewhere else, we'd never bring it up, you know? We fear. So a lot of this has to do with courage, I guess. Will you own your beliefs? Is it okay for you to espouse them and own them and let other people know that you own them? Mm-hmm. Anyway, just interesting stuff about the process of how do you know that somebody values their belief.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. And you're right. You know, religion has been responsible for a lot of deaths because
unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does become, and this is not religion bashing, but it's just a realization that for some people, their beliefs are so core and so strong that they're willing to kill for it, let alone die for it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary.
That's core. That's where you know it's really core.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel sure if we find out what some people's core beliefs are, it tells us I want to be a friend with that person, or I do not want to be friends with that person, because our beliefs are, it's okay if the beliefs aren't the same, but it's not okay if the beliefs are in conflict with each other. That's when you right. have to really work it out. And well, the interesting thing is that we, these unitary human creatures that we think we are, we hold all kinds of incompatible beliefs in our own system, you know? And we just kind of, you know, yeah, okay, it's all right. I don't want to talk about that a whole lot because I can't understand me, and so I don't want to deal too deeply with it. But to be consistent, that is required. You really need to reconcile all those places where you're in conflict within yourself.
Yes.
Establish a better rapport between your conscious and your unconscious minds. That's when you lead a good life, when you can do that.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Bruce Lipton and, you know, for those who don't know about him, he's one of our favorite authors, speakers, experts, and he is a cellular biologist who used to teach in medical schools. And he was teaching based on the science that he was taught. That genes control what happens in your body, and that certain people have cancer genes and certain people have genes for this certain disease or that disease. And what he learned through his research is that that was not the case at all, but that actually the environment of the cells in your body, the environment that they have, is what determines what part of your gene turns on. And this is extremely important when we talk about illness. And it does tie into beliefs as well. This is why he wrote the book eventually. But think about it. If you're someone, now your cells are swimming in a sea of liquid, and it's called intercellular liquid. And your cells have liquid inside them. And so you have, if that liquid is filled with junk, then the cells can't be healthy. And so when, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, it's all about what are you feeding your mind in the way of beliefs. If you're feeding garbage beliefs, you're going to have garbage results in your life. If you're feeding your body garbage, then you are filling the liquid surrounding your cells and your bloodstream that feeds your cells nutrition if that gets filled with junk, then the cells aren't getting what they need. And so this is tied to cancer genes turning on. This is tied to other health issues turning on. And so that's how powerful and how important this is. He says here, beliefs are the primary factor that shape how our biology and how our lives unfold. And there's just nothing more powerful. So he gives several ways for us to turn beliefs around, and he calls them the healing toolbox. And I think that we will definitely be talking about all of these, but what I want people to understand is that when you begin to question, that's when you are actually opening up and changing. It's discovery is 50%. Awareness is 50% of change. Mm-hmm. So while a lot of your beliefs and things that are affecting you are subconscious, the fact is that as you begin to bring them to conscious awareness, now you have ammunition. Now you can choose. So that's the key, is finding out what is running my life. What is it that, you know, what am I telling myself? What am I believing that is causing me to have these results when I want these results? So he talks about the four ways to turn beliefs around. And once you are aware of what you want to turn around, there is hypnosis, which we talk about all the time. Dr. Art is a hypnotherapy expert or hypnosis expert. And there is repetition through repetition. And I think that's a form of affirmations where you affirmations require a whole nother show in itself. You know, one of the things with affirmations is people say, well, wait a minute, I don't believe that affirmation, you know, because if you're saying something that you want to be true, but your inner self doesn't believe it to be true, then you can say it till the cows come home. But first you have to deal with what it is that you're believing that is counter to what you want to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's where hypnosis comes in. There's also ways to do affirmations that are progressive. So that you say, I want to believe that. Then after that, after you do that for a while, I'm choosing to believe that. And your subconscious mind can take that in better. I'm choosing to believe that such and such is true. I am getting better and better at believing. And then I believe. And so it's a progression of not doing, not head on against what your beliefs are, but just allowing your subconscious to hear you changing without the argument that comes back, no, you don't believe that, which the subconscious mind will do. And then he talks about energy psychology, and Dr. Art already mentioned with the tapping, and this is something called emotional freedom technique. And I use that a lot with my food addiction clients, but with just about anything that my clients have going on, it helps you to turn around what is trapped, and that the flow of your energy, your mental energy, your physical energy, your spiritual energy, your belief energy, it helps to literally shift it through the mind-body connection. And he talks about Psych-K, which I've experienced Psych-K. It's very powerful. And
testing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then finally, he says, number four is high impact events. An individual may rapidly rewrite programs after an overwhelming or emotionally traumatizing life experience. Excuse me. So, there are many ways to change beliefs. And Dr. Art, maybe you can talk about how hypnosis allows people to change beliefs.
Well, I was going to say hypnosis and NLP both have belief changing strategies They're a little bit complex to go into, but rest assured that if you are struggling with changing a belief, either adding one that you want and don't have, or removing one that you have and don't want, there are a number of strategies to deal with those processes very well. It's interesting. Bruce Lipton was actually made into an ogre because he said that Watson and Crick got it wrong. And of course, they'd already won a Nobel Prize. And Dr. Lipton came up with the field of epigenetics. Epi means above, genetics. And what is above genetics is the environment. And he just says, you got to be brutal. If your environment is punishing you, you will suffer from that. And if you get punished enough, you can suffer to death, you know. Mm-hmm. So don't allow yourself to be put in situations where life is just not anything in the environment that you want, and that you can. He discovered it. He was sitting in the lab, and he had some petri dishes, and he put some cells in the petri dishes, and he put a very rich medium in there, and the cells were just buzzing all over the petri dish, and they were going here and going there. They were looking at what was in there and investigating things that could be food or whatever. And then he took all the cells out and he put them in a toxic environment, another petri dish. And almost immediately they shut down. They all gathered in one little corner of the petri dish, all huddled together, kind of protecting each other. Not moving, no curiosity, no creativity, no real expression. And then he took them out and put them back into the rich environment. And immediately they started moving around and being curious and developing and opening. So he said that the truth that he discovered from that was you can't have it both ways. The cells have a switch and they're either in defense mode or they're in enjoyment and growth mode. And so if you want to really make sure that your cells live in the most nutrient-rich environment, what that is living in an attitude of gratitude. That is what you can personally do. Is every day when you get up, think of two or three things that you're going to be thankful for this day. All day long, look for things that you can be thankful for, appreciative of. When you go to bed, the last thing at night, here's some things that I'm really thankful for. I have a little cheater. I have an LG computer, or a TV rather, in the bedroom. And when I turn it off, what flashes up on the screen immediately is their logo. Life is good. And I say that to myself out loud. If that's the last words out of my mouth, is life is good. And I've really started to use that as my mantra now, as a way to end the day. You know, I really like that. And so Bruce Lipton just said, we have a lot of influence over ourselves and what genes get turned on and which ones don't, but it's all done through the environment. If we are in a toxic environment, then we are going to suffer. And whatever that takes for you to deal with it and get that toxicity out, it may mean changing jobs, it may mean changing partners, it may mean changing the location of your home. It may be the city you live in, it may be the state you live in, it may even be the country you live in. But he said, do not sit around and hope that it's just going to get better and don't do anything about it, because meanwhile, you are living in a toxic environment and it is taking a toll on your cells.
Absolutely.
We have 50 trillion of them. And can you imagine if you and 50 trillion of your best buddies wanted to do something and you were all pulling the same direction? It's going to happen. I mean, you've got it. We've got a lot of help. if we get ourselves on board with us.
Absolutely. And I want to give people some hope about changing beliefs, because one of the challenges is that if you've been believing something for a long time, then think of it like a tornado that's going in a certain direction, and it's been reinforced over and over and over. So here's your belief, and it's just going and going and going. And so here you come trying to change the direction of your life. And so what I know is true from all of my clients is that once the awareness hits, you go, I've been putting up with this for this long. It should change. It should have changed yesterday. I have 30 extra pounds and they should be off yesterday. Mm. And it doesn't work that way. But because you're so aware of the pain you've been in and what you've been putting up with, having less of a life than you wanted, having less achievement than you wanted, having whatever it is that those negative beliefs are causing, over and over and over. So now here you come with that awareness and you want to turn it around and you want it spinning the other way. But you have to give time. You have to keep pushing. So if it's going this way, now you're starting to change your belief with the various techniques we talked about. And there are so many ways to change beliefs. And we've already talked about a few, but hypnosis is one of the fast tracks you can do to change your beliefs. And NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, are some real fast tracks. Psych-K is a fast track. So be patient with your tornado of negative beliefs. You're going to be changing them. And as my former mentor used to say, also an NLP expert, is that, you know, it's like a 33 RPM. If you're old enough to remember those big 33 RPM records, and they have little grooves in them, and those grooves have been programmed with the music or whatever it is that's on the record. And so when you're changing beliefs, you're actually scratching the record so that it doesn't play the same. But those grooves have been in there for a long time. So it's a question of patience with yourself, patience with the process. I think that's the hardest thing for people.
Yeah. Well, one of the examples that that Bruce Lipton gives is he said back in the olden days when you were doing research, you'd go to the library and there was a research librarian and she would come to the little window and say, what do you want? And you say, well, I'm doing I'll use the example he gave. I'm doing a report on the Hoover Dam. And so I'd like 6 or 8 books on the Hoover Dam so I can gather some information. And she's okay, just a minute, I'll get that for you. And she turns to walk away and then you ding the bell, you know, and she turns around and says, yes, what is it? And he said, I want that information on the Hoover Dam. And she said, yeah, I was going to get it. Just a minute, I'll have it for you. She turns to walk away and you ding, 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 you ring the bell again. And, you know, she comes, what do you want? You know, to, for gosh sakes, give it time. You know, it doesn't happen instantly. You know, yeah. These things do take time. Probably the inculcation of that belief didn't happen with one exposure. And so changing it to its opposite or adding something, it's probably not going to happen with one time either. It's going to take some repetition to get it going.
Exactly. I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to make sure to let people know what next week's show is. But before I do, just I want you to know, if you would like any of the handouts that we always offer, we have free handouts on changing beliefs. We have free handouts on emotional freedom technique. You can email us at contactnrshow@gmail.com. And that's contact, N as in new, R as in reality, show, and Thomas is putting it on the screen here, @gmail.com. And if you email us and say, I want to know how to change my beliefs. We will send you whatever it is that we have as your gift. And again, if you enjoyed the show, we hope that you will consider coming back and also being a subscriber. And you can become a subscriber by going to our show page. There is a link on the show page. And for as little as $2.99, you can help us to continue to help people, because people are struggling right now. They've been struggling. This last 2 years has just taken a toll on everybody. So everything that we do is designed to try and help people to help themselves, and just to reach out with free information and things that they can use, news you can use. So next week, we have a show that we're looking forward to. We have Dr. Jacqueline Del Rosario. She is quite accomplished. She's been featured on many, many different news shows. Her bio is quite long, and I'll be reading it next week. She is an expert on relationships and an author and a speaker. She's really quite special, and we're excited to have her on. So that's what's happening next week. And Dr. Art, anything you want to say before we go?
I think we've gotten pretty well all the goodie off of this for the little bit of time we have with it. So just looking forward to next week. I think it's going to be a fascinating show to hear about relationships from somebody who has really been through quite a horrendous set of experiences to come up with being the person she is, and wants to help people get through it a lot easier than she did. So I think it's going to be really helpful for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.